Scott McKay is away this week. Filling in for him is WPRI.com politics economics reporter Ted Nesi. Hi there, Ted.
Hi, Ian. Thanks for having me.
Chairman Abney, we're expecting a proposal soon from the Paw Sox on the finances for their proposed new stadium in Pawtucket. Would you personally support any level of public subsidy for that?
Well, first of all, I have not seen the proposal that we're talking about, and it's not before us yet. So
sure, but what do you think? I mean, this has been a hotly debated story in Rhode Island. Would you support any level of public subsidy? $2 million, $20 million? Is there any level of public subsidy that you personally would support?
In my budget now, which is what I really have to look at, I'm not sure that there are not many levels of it that I would support at this particular time. But again, I always hesitate, and it's not a matter of ducking a question until I know exactly what the proposal is and what's asked about it. I have to always say that this is not a revenue matter for us just yet at this particular point.
Let's go to Ted.
Ian asked you some questions about the car tax during this morning's political roundtable, and I had a follow-up for you. Yeah. The speaker has been very clear there'll be $40 million in this upcoming budget to start cutting the car tax. In your view, as the man who'll have to put that budget together, is there any wiggle room on that? Is that an absolute ironclad commitment of the House to put that roughly for, I know, let's say 41, 39, but, you know, right about 40?
I do think that we're certainly looking at making sure that we have enough money to support that. And let me tell you why. One of the things I hear, not only in my district, but around the state, is that the car tax, for whatever reason, and I'm a guy coming in from the outside in, it's one of those things that it's a public trust issue. You put a tax on us to do X, you do it for a while, you get Y, then you put it back. I think people are fed up with that, you know. So I think it's certainly making me look at what my priorities are to come up with enough money to make that happen. I do think that I'm going to work really, really hard to make sure that we're keeping a public trust rather than getting in the middle of a discussion between the speaker and the governor. I know that's where people want to go because it makes news and it's all that sort of stuff. But I do think that this is a public trust issue. And quickly, just 2 days ago, a guy walked past my car at Shaw's and said two things. You know, one, please no more, you know, corruptions. And if you could do one thing, get rid of that stupid car tax. And this is what the guy said to me. So I think there's a sentiment that we're actually forced to make sure that we do some things that the public wants done. That's critical from my perspective.
You're the chairman of the House Finance Committee, and every year the members of the committee vote on the newly unveiled version of the House budget when it's literally still warm from the printer. Is that the right way for lawmakers to consider a $9 billion spending plan?
I know. I get that question all of the time. Is that a right way to do so? I think under the time constraints, many times that we have, it causes that. But I think what also causes that is that there are many changes that occur in a very short period of time within a budget. Once you get in motion of trying to get one passed and one out, it gets very difficult not at sometimes to have what I know people refer to as it hot off the press. That's because there has been some change, a major or minor change in it. I was, you know, put aback by that when I first started myself, but I realize now that the system does work in terms of changes that are being made in those. And so it's not because we're trying to put something out that people don't have a chance to read. You got to remember that once the budget is out, it sits on what we call the desk for 7 days. Anybody can look at it, you know, and sometimes changes are made at the very last minute to make things happen. And I don't think it's a thing where we're trying to make sure that people don't get a chance to read it and to understand it. But yeah, I would rather have probably some other way to do it other than that, because that's a perception more than a reality of something is changing, and I don't know what it is.
So I'll plead a little ignorance. I don't know if this is in your district or Rep. Carson's district, but what will be the former Newport Grand site is going to be presumably empty soon when the Tiverton Casino gets up and running. What would you like to see happen down there? It's such a prominent spot.
Oh, that's in my district, just a few blocks from where I live. Well, I don't want to see it end up being a big building and nothing happens there. I know the city council is working very, very hard on looking for people who would develop that land, and perhaps a convention center at one point in time years ago had been talked about going there, or maybe some kind of incubator center. I would like to see being used in the north end of town where I'm responsible for here. We're trying to make sure that that is connected to the rest of Newport, attracting businesses, because it's going to be a big open space. So I think the bigger planning is to have something that's education related, perhaps, or something, or a big incubator center, something of that sort.
We're talking here with House Finance Chairman Marvin Abney, and we know the level of state spending has grown by billions of dollars over the last 10 years. Are Republicans right to say that Rhode Island has a spending problem and that spending needs to be seriously curtailed?
It's not just Republicans who might say that or might believe that, and this is not the first time I've heard that a state is it a spending problem or what it is. No, I don't think that it is exactly a spending problem. Here's what we have. We have a state where people tell me every day, I don't want any more taxes, but I want all of these things over here. And that's what I have to deal with. That's what I have to budget with.
But in fairness to lawmakers, yeah, there's a large part of the budget that is fixed costs. But at the same time, does the state need to cut down on its spending?
I think we need to prioritize and look at how we spend things. Obviously, yeah, you know, last year we had to become more transparent in what we were doing. I remember the grant issue and things like that. So you have to be more transparent so that people can see that what you're doing is the right thing to do. Are there efficiencies we could get? Probably, you know, but we have to work toward that. We have to work with us and with the governor's office to make sure that savings that we, you know, think we're going to have occur, and that we really prioritize what we need to do. And the last couple of years, as you know, has been building a base in the business community from which we can make our economy a lot better than what it is. And I think that has worked. And that is one of the things I'm looking for, is the things that we do, let's make sure we do those things well before we start doing newer or bigger things.
There's no doubt personalities do matter at the State House, and it has certainly appeared to the reporters that Governor Raimondo and Speaker Mattiello's relationship has gotten very frosty in the past 6 to 12 months. I mean, you have to deal, you know, you're a deputy to the Speaker, but you have to deal with the governor's office a lot. How would you describe their relationship at this point?
I think they're professionals. I really do. I don't get into people's personal things, but I do think that, as I said before, you know, they see things differently sometimes, but I don't think that that's a bad idea. I think it forces many of us in the middle, as you would say, to work together to make sure we can support both the governor's ideas and the speaker's ideas, because it doesn't do any good for us to go to war with each other. I'm more concerned about the million people that we serve than I am about the personalities that cause something to happen. And that's just me, and I'm not going to change.
To follow up on Ted's question, it seems as if the House did support most of Governor Raimondo's spending priorities over the last 2 years, but there has been more of an open conflict, as Ted said, between the governor and the speaker over the recent time frame. So will we see a shift away from supporting most of the governor's priorities in the forthcoming House budget?
I don't know that you'll see a shift away from the things that are important. I think what you see now is a questioning of new things that we may be, you know, asked to do. And our concern, at least my concern, is making sure those things that we do, we do them right. But I don't see that there's going to be a huge shift. And because we've laid a really good foundation, I believe, for putting the state on the right path. But those things are important to support what we've started, I think we will support.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us from WPRI.com, Ted Nesi.
Thanks for having me, Ian.
And the chairman of the House Finance Committee, Marvin Abney, a Newport Democrat.
Great to be in friendly territory.